Welcome to North Valley's devotional podcast for January 29th, 2021. Today we'll be reading from Genesis 9, verses 12 through 27. The rainbow that I have put in the sky will be my sign to you and to every living creature on earth. It will remind you that I will keep this promise forever. When I send clouds over the earth and a rainbow appears in the sky, I will remember my promise to you and to all other living creatures. Never again will I let floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the sky, I will always remember the promise that I have made to every living creature. The rainbow will be the sign of that solemn promise. Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, came out of the boat. Ham later had a son named Canaan. All people on earth are descendants of Noah's three sons. Noah farmed the land and was the first to plant a vineyard. One day he got drunk and was lying naked in his tent. Ham entered the tent and saw him naked, then went back outside and told his brothers. Shem and Japheth put a robe over their shoulders and walked backwards into the tent. Without looking at their father, they placed it over his body. When Noah woke up and learned what his youngest son had done, he said, "I now put a curse on Canaan. He will be the lowest slave of his brothers. I ask the Lord my God to bless Shem and make Canaan his slave. I pray that Lord will give Japheth more and more and let him take over the territory of Shem. May Canaan be his slave." Genesis 9 and 10 are the wrap-up of the Noah narrative. God is giving instructions to Noah and company about repeopling the earth, and in chapter 10, the genealogy of Noah's sons is outlined. In the middle of all this are two parts of the narrative. One, which is found on approximately 72% of all church nursery murals, and the other is almost never found on a mural at all, never mind in a church nursery. The first of these is the story of the rainbow. It bears all the hallmarks of ancient oral tradition making sense of the natural world. The rainbow is a sign of peace between God and creation, and a promise that God won't destroy the world with a flood again. It's a means of making a natural occurrence a sacrament, a prompt to remember God's goodness and promise. It marks the end of the flood narrative and the time to move on from this account. The second is the story of Noah's drunkenness and the reaction of his sons. Although it doesn't appear on church nursery walls, it has shaped the thinking of the church in major, if not immediately evident, ways. It's clearly a story meant to explain how things are, for example, why Canaanites were not the favored people of God. From a modern context of inclusion, we find this obvious tribalism distasteful, to say the least. However, it is clear that this is what the storytellers are doing. Like it or not, the tribalism of the ancient world was real, and the storytelling of Scripture embraces it. Far worse is the appropriation of this story for the purposes of colonial slavery. Using the further description of the descendants of Ham in Genesis 10:6, Ham's descendants had their own languages, tribes, and land. They were Ethiopia, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. Combined with "May Canaan be his slave," the perpetrators and supporters of African enslavement claimed biblical support for their action. The repercussions of this blatant misuse of Scripture to dehumanize and justify the atrocities of racism and slavery still impact our world today. This should serve as a stark warning about the way we make sense of and use Scripture. The use of Genesis to justify modern slavery was cynical from the beginning. It was an excuse to do what folks wanted, never mind that the text doesn't add up. The curse of slavery is put on Canaan, not Ethiopia or Egypt, something the oppressors conveniently ignored. Recontextualizing Scripture and applying it to justify the action we want to take does not make for faithfulness, either to God or the biblical witness. Scripture needs to be taken as a whole, as well as understood on its own terms, not manipulated as a lens to see the world as it might benefit us. Far too often we accept the assumptions and embellishments placed on Scripture, or the oversimplification of these stories that reduce the meaning and impact of what the storytellers were communicating. Some questions for today. Rainbows are one of the prompts Scripture gives to see God's promise in nature. Are there other ways you experience nature sacramentally? The story of Noah's drunkenness is uncomfortable. What do you do with Scripture like this? Are you aware of the ways that Scripture has been used to justify oppression or other malevolent behavior? Do you try to understand those Scriptures better? Are you aware of ways that you've been taught Scripture that might perpetuate white supremacy or other types of segregation?